Greetings, and welcome to the fourth episode of the PSAP. That's right, the Pinstripe Valley Podcast is back for yet another episode. I'm giving you a raise, your host for this podcast. Of course, with me, as always, are the waffle and sausage to my complete breakfast. The hotties to my, I'm pretty hot myself. Anyway, what would Jeter do and Lord Duggan? How are you guys doing? Guys
good.
And gals, sorry, don't want to call you a boy.
Unlike the rest of PSA.
Duggan, are you a girl?
No.
Oh, okay. Can we start calling you one for no reason?
Maybe.
That's better. All right.
Despite, the 100 times that it has been explained.
Well, I can tell from your picture, you do not look like a girl, Duggan. Meanwhile, waffles, bravo. That's all I gotta say. Anyway, so
you're so good at determining gender.
I know. It's amazing, and I live in New York City, so it's not always accurate. I work in Chelsea, which is, I would pretty much venture to say, the LGBT capital of the world. So, it's a fun area, though, I'll give you that. Or, fun, anyway. let's not insult people on our fourth episode, I think.
Let's insult people.
Okay. Well, before we get to insulting Yankees, I guess we should begin with, of course, this week in pinstripes. A lot of baseball this week. Some impressive, some not. Offense has been there at times. A lot of offense hasn't been there at times. I'm sure we'll get into a few who didn't exactly tickle our fancy. Pitching seemed, for the most part, all right, except for a few exceptions, one of which I will name later. But let's start with you, Duggan. What did you think of this week in pinstripes with the baseball and all that?
I liked the baseball.
That's good.
Yeah. It needs to stop being so damn early, though.
Yeah,
I don't want to wake up at 10 in the morning to watch baseball.
Yeah, that's right. You're on a different time zone, so you don't have the luxury of waking up at 1.
No, because clearly there's a racial motivation to the scheduling of these games, and I have to wake up really damn early, and I don't want to.
Poor thing.
I don't wake up early. In fact, I usually wake up, turn on the TV, and there's baseball.
Oh, that's what I do. I set my alarm so that I wake up right the minute that the game starts.
Oh, that's good.
Not one moment before.
Waffles, you? Do you like to wake up and watch baseball, or are you up due to school and all that?
I like to. I don't get to.
Why not?
I have class at 8:45 every morning.
Oh, God. Why would you do that? Or do you not have a choice?
Oh, we don't have a choice.
Oh, okay. Because
that's just when they start.
Oh, I can promise you. My first semester of college, I did an 8:45 class, or actually it was like an 8 o'clock class, and that was the last time I ever did that. If it's before, like, I would say 11 a.m., then I'm not taking it.
Attaboy.
I had never had any class that began at any time beginning with an 8 before law school, and then they gave me no choice.
Ouch. The hard times of being a lawyer.
It's true.
But what did you think of some of the baseball this week?
I thought it was good. The beginning of the week was kind of when the offense forgot to come to the party.
Yeah, they were just not hitting at all.
But the pitching has been pretty good. It's been exciting to see some of the starters again.
Yeah, I guess one of the bigger stories is, even though we didn't get to see it because, MLB sucks like that at times, Pineda, for his second outing, showed a vast improvement over the first.
Yeah. I was never worried about his velocity to begin with.
Nor was I.
I'm really not sure why people freaked out about that.
Because spring training overreaction.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Definitely.
I mean,
if Michael Panetta gave up a home run on every pitch he threw in spring training, I would be mildly concerned. Mildly.
Slightly.
Panetta himself said that he wasn't throwing as hard as he can and that he didn't really feel like there was a need to. So.
Well, I guess, I mean, really, is there?
I mean, he's right, yeah.
Would you want him to throw 96 miles an hour and blow out his elbow?
Russell Martin
on a meaningless spring training game? I would cry.
Maybe I would. That'll show him.
Russell Martin is chasing the spring training stolen bases record.
Exactly, and then he's going to be hurt in, like, May, and we're going to look back at this and be like, Russ.
He'll probably be fine, and it doesn't really make a difference, but goddamn, is he stealing a lot of bases.
Yeah, there's only really a few Yankees I actually want stealing bases, and obviously one of them is Brett Gardner. Just because he has the speed to just pretty much pull it off.
Well, Russ has decided that Brett Gardner is not necessary because he's going to steal all the bases.
I don't like that at all.
I mean, it makes sense because spring training to work on your timing and work on getting a good jump and all that stuff. I mean, you want to, if it's a part of your game, you should work on it in spring training. But I think he has taken off for second every time he has reached first base, which seems a bit excessive.
He's just got to steal.
Yeah.
It's like the Hamburglar.
I was going to say something much more inappropriate.
Hey, you're the one playing Natural Born Killers for me earlier, which again is, like I said, one of the funniest and creepiest openings to a song ever. Because I've walked through the ghetto at night, and trust me, that's exactly what you.
Hey, there's scary people yelling at me.
Like, you know they're yelling directly at you.
I just wanted to walk home.
But, yeah, no, Russell Martin, guys, wants to steal home at this point. But,
Are you a little bit concerned that you're going to be getting off the bus and walking home in a shady part of town and you'll run into Russell Martin in a dark alleyway?
Yes. That's why I drive to work every night now, so I know I'm safe in my car. Or am I? There we go.
Always.
But I'll say this. I'm a little worried about CeCe. No, I'm not. He looks fine.
CeCe was good.
I think they need to ask him some more about his weight, though. I don't think we've gotten to the bottom of this story. So if you're listening, Jack Curry and the rest of you people on Yes and various other media members,
I think they're listening.
Need some more. About, they're not listening, but I like to be an ass. I need more information about CeCe's weight.
Yes. What is he eating? We need to get to the bottom of, we need to create a pie chart based on what he's eating.
Actually, I would prefer Michael Kay doing some play-by-play of all of his meals.
And he's got the chicken, it's in his mouth! See ya! Oh, he's nibbling on the bone!
I just think it's hilarious that they decided to report that he was, like, brown bagging it to work. Like,
why is that important?
This is vital knowledge that I have now.
I take my lunch to work with me sometimes.
Why is there not a news story about it? I just do not know.
Maybe there should be. Maybe there should be. That'll be my next article.
Get as fat as CeCe and then start screwing up at work and then lose a bunch of weight. And then start bringing your own lunch and see if it becomes important.
Yes.
I'm giving you a raise. Brings bag to work.
Exactly. Although, he really didn't struggle when he was overweight either, so. Again, it's amazing that this has been made such a story.
I mean, CeCe's been fat forever. He's been good forever.
Yeah.
He didn't just all of a sudden be like, oh, I'm fat, so I'm going to suck now.
Maybe they're just fattest, you know, or weightist, as I like to call it. Nothing?
It's possible.
Okay. I was going for some laughter there, but nothing.
I just miss Bartolo Colon. Then CeCe would look so much better if we still had Colon.
Maybe that's why we should have re-signed him.
No, they had to let him go because he's fat.
Well, actually,
they don't like fat people.
But Freddy Garcia's still there, and boy, did he put on some pounds.
That's true.
Why isn't
and
that
Jabba.
Yeah, oh god. He's a beast.
and Gary Sanchez, apparently. And Michael Pineda, apparently.
Yeah.
10 pounds for a dude Michael Pineda's size is nothing. And yet, it's been talked about endlessly.
I love the way spring training endlessly just becomes a meat market. Which is like...
You're so fat.
So much you're appraisal not. Of, like, male bodies that's just... I don't know.
Weird.
It's just... Yeah, it seems a little unnecessary.
I think at this point... Because I know it's normally not allowed when, like, they get out of the shower. But at this point, I think we should have cameras on them, like, when they're, like, shirtless. So we can see so we can see their gut.
You would want that.
I would.
Yeah.
I've seen it before, and quite frankly, I miss it. It's mesmerizing.
Awkward silence.
I'm not even editing.
There's something seriously wrong with you. No, don't edit out. It needs to be left in all its glory, so everyone can know what we have to suffer through with your weird ass.
Speaking of that, Phil Hughes didn't look too bad in his second outing.
No, he didn't.
No, he pitched beautifully.
Yeah, I mean, that's all you can hope for. I mean, again, spring training is to essentially work the kinks out, and that's all I'm hoping for Phil Hughes, that he works the kinks out and makes a real bid for the fifth starter.
However, I saw an article.
Uh-oh.
I was telling Duggan about this earlier, that said they wondered if Phil Hughes and Freddie Garcia both do well in spring training and Ivan Nova continues to struggle, if they will give Hughes and Garcia both spots in the rotation and send Nova to AAA.
Oy.
That would not make me happy.
They're going to do something stupid like that. I'd be kind of surprised. I don't think they're just going to kick Freddie to the curb or stick him in the bullpen. I don't think,
yeah.
unless he just, like, embarrasses himself in spring training, which he won't. He pitched very well his last time out. I don't think that they're just going to dump him.
No, especially not after spending the money on him.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder if...
one way or another, he is going to be in the rotation.
It makes you wonder if the whole not guaranteeing spots to anyone aside from CC and Kuroda was kind of done on purpose for that very reason.
Probably. It's probably not just to get people's hopes, I guess, down that you're definitely going to see certain someone in the rotation. I saw some article that they might start Kuroda in AAA to work on stuff so they could possibly keep him, like, longer or something like that. I don't think they'll do
that.
You mean Pineda?
Pineda.
I say Kuroda?
Yeah.
You did.
I meant Pineda.
Sending Hiroki Kuroda to AAA would be something.
That would be funny. Speaking of Kuroda, we saw him pitch this week, and I gotta say, I liked what I saw. He pitches fast. He really pounds the strike zone. I mean, really pounds it hard. I really like that.
Just punishes that strike zone.
Yes, with non-stop pounding, and works fast, and just throws strikes, pounds the strike zone. Again, I can't stress that enough. Waffles, did you think he did a good job pounding the strike zone?
I did. I thought.
Don't interrupt the awkward silence.
I thought that he did very well with his strike zone.
Okay, it's not quite the words we were using, but I'll let it slide.
Yeah, I don't feel comfortable using those words. Thank you,
Duncan. Do you think he pounded the strike zone, right?
Well, I think he at least took the strike zone out for dinner.
Do you? I don't know. It might have just been a quick, you know, fling at a bar.
Well, he had a little trouble closing in the second inning when he was leaving those pitches up and gave up that triple.
That is true. But from what I saw, I did actually like, you know, I really liked, again, as a employee who really loves for games to go fast, I really like that he pitches fast. I like that from Pineda, too. Real big fan of that.
He showed a good splitter against lefties and got his fastball up to like 93. So I think he'll be serviceable.
I think he was working the corners too.
Yep.
Which is definitely a plus. Pounding the strike zone, working the corners. he's just got it. He's just got it going. Any offensive people that impressed you this week? Waffles?
I thought that Gary Sanchez did pretty well.
Yeah. Zoilo is still looking pretty decent.
Yeah.
Love his name. I really do.
I like him.
Yeah, no. I think he's pretty good. Duggan, any offense that impressed you?
I think Swish has been having some good at-bats.
Oh, yeah. He's really making it hard to want to, you know, or I really don't want to replace him, but he's really making the case for himself.
You wouldn't prefer we start Dickerson, right?
No. As much as I love his name for its punnability, he does not look good out there.
No.
Can we make an all-name pun team?
I'd love that.
Just so you can, like, drown in your own fluid.
I really might make that the basis of my fantasy team.
God.
Go for the most punnable names. I don't think I could do that, though. Well, not do it and win, anyway.
Oh, no, you would definitely lose.
Yes. And if I won, I'm a gloater. I'd never let anyone live it down. But,
Jose Gil has been good.
Yeah, he has been.
Isn't it Gil?
I don't think so.
Gil? I thought it was Gil.
I think it's Gil.
Okay.
I think your catcher would definitely have to be Matt Wieters.
Yeah.
First base, I think. Who can you make a messed up name with at first base?
Is this serious?
Hey, this is serious. This is happening.
I could probably do something with Prince Fielder.
Yeah. Okay. You want Prince at first?
That's a punnable name.
Yeah, and he is fat, so there's that. Second base, maybe Dan Ugla?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Hey, we might be able to make this work.
Yeah.
But,
Shortstop, Emilio Bonifacio.
Absolutely. No, that was my first
Okay.
choice.
Okay. Third base. Euculus. Euculus is an option. You don't want any Red Sox swine.
Well, that and he's kind of a troll. I mean, I can punt
him,
but... Oh, alright. We'll discuss this later, as I think Waffles is giving us a look right now on Skype, even though we can't see her.
Yeah, but we can't see her, so it won't burn our faces.
But I'll say this: Ibanez looked terrible out there again.
That's because Ibanez is terrible. I really wish, though, that we had been able to see that game. Apparently, he fell right on his face.
Yeah,
and that kind of would have been fantastic.
I was hoping for some visuals, but none were available.
So, to find Ibanez falling on his face.
And, like, I think he missed through a ball. One went through his legs. That's impressive.
He hasn't really hit the ball once hard. I think he flew out in the vicinity of the warning track one time. And that's, like, the most impressive he's been at the plate.
I thought he hit one.
All of spring training.
I thought he hit one.
What's that?
I thought he hit one dinger. I'm not.
Oh, no. He did not hit a dinger.
No.
There
were no dingers.
No dingers.
Even though that's all he brings to the table, is he will hit probably 20 home runs at the course of the season. He will run into enough pitches that he'll hit 20 home runs. He's like a backup catcher. The only thing that he has the ability to do is hit a somewhat reasonable amount of home runs. That's all.
Colin Curtis has a home run. Ibanez cannot reach the outfield.
Speaking of reaching the outfield. Again, healthy A-Rod looks real good at the plate right now.
He does. That double off the wall that he had Saturday?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was nice.
Yeah, he's, again, healthy A-Rod looks impressive.
The people who could actually watch that game said that A-Rod looked like he was running better than they've seen him run in quite some time.
Hooray.
Let's keep this A-Rod and not get the crappy A-Rod.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's all in the jogging suits, personally.
Maybe. Brett Gardner bunted for a hit. Good for him. He's one of the few people I'd actually like seeing do that, just because I have faith he could beat it out. Unfortunately, it might mean he slides into first more, which I'm not cool with. He's got to stop that.
You know who else looks kind of bad?
Who?
Eric Chavez.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he has looked like crap.
Has he even reached base once?
Yeah, he has. Oh. But
he has, but he hasn't been having very good plate appearances.
No.
And he played really crappy at first base. I think he only played one game there, but he was, like, noticeably bad at it.
And these are the people we had to sign after getting rid of AJ.
Yeah, immediately.
Really, like, instantly.
Ugh. Well, I mean, they are a bench player, and your backup corner outfielder does not need to be great.
True.
Well, we certainly got that.
I just really hope he never sees the field.
I hope he never sees the Bronx, but, you know.
That's not going to happen. Saying. That's not going to happen.
I know. I can dream, though.
Would you rather have him or Bill Hall?
You actually have to think about that.
No. I wouldn't be terrified to see Bill Hall standing in the field somewhere. I wouldn't be happy, but I wouldn't be terrified.
Well, Chavez can still play a good third base, but I would still rather almost all of the backup time go to Nunez.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Ibanez.
Oh, Ibanez? Yeah. Yeah. I don't see much reason to be optimistic with Ibanez. I mean, we're still really not risking anything, and maybe he'll be like, hey, I remembered how to swing a bat fast again, and so I'm going to be competent, but
it's not looking
I wouldn't awesome. Hold my breath. No. Yeah.
I mean, Chavez I'm pretty indifferent to. He can come or he can go. I don't really care. But Ibanez was definitely the one that I was talking about.
All
right. That I hope never leaves Florida, ever.
But at this point, I don't really know who we have that's better.
Yeah. I mean, maybe Zoilo will make the backup roster or something.
Eh. He really needs to be in Trenton.
Yeah, he'll probably start in, like, Trenton, yeah.
Yeah, true.
Maybe Russell Branyon will decide to not be terrible. It's kind of like what we were doing in the rotation last year. Like, hey, we've got these people and they suck, but maybe this year they won't.
Yeah.
And last year they didn't. It worked. Hey, we got Freddie and Bartolo and they were okay.
Very true. All right. Anything else on the Yankees front? Waffles?
I don't think so.
Duggan?
No, not really.
All right. I guess our next segment, obviously, is This Week in Baseball. Did you find anything interesting in the rest of the spring training games? Waffles?
Suspedes hit a home run.
Yeah,
which is pretty interesting.
That was actually where I was going. He didn't look that bad.
I didn't actually see it, I just read about it.
I guess the other big news is Darvish.
Yeah, Darvish was amazing.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, Duggan and I were talking about it earlier this week, but if he can throw that much stuff with, like, that much, I guess, precision, he's going to be real nasty to face.
Yeah. He's like a video game.
I know. And he's got a clever name, too, so I could put him on the fantasy, the punnable fantasy team. But he really looks good. I mean, Duggan, what do you think of him?
The stuff looked great. Definitely a little bit of ironing out on his not necessarily his location, but his command. I mean, he didn't hit the glove with his fastball so well. I mean, he has a lot of big pitches. He wasn't putting them all exactly where he wanted them, and he did. He did lose a few pitches over the plate, but I'm really nitpicking here because I mean he was awfully good. I I mean, just with pure stuff itself, I mean, 10 swinging strikes in 36 pitches is outrageous.
Yeah. Good luck, AL West, with that. But, I mean, of course, you know, everyone's comparing him to, like, Daisuke and all the other Japanese pitchers who came over, so... Which I don't really think is fair. I mean, who are they to compare him to him?
Well, it's definitely a more apt comparison to compare him to other people who've had to make that transition and see how their performance has changed. But there's really no way to compare. You know, like, can you compare Jesus Montero and Miguel Cabrera because they're both from Venezuela? Like,
I know.
They both played in Venezuela and then played in America, so... You know what I mean? It's kind of like, if you want to compare him to another pitcher, Daisuke is the best comparison you can make, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's a good comparison or that the conclusions that you can try to draw from that are indicative of how his career is going to go.
Yeah, true. Speaking of Jesus, he didn't do too bad.
Yeah, he's been hitting well.
Which is, you know, what everyone expects. Does anyone know how his catching has been, since that was apparently a concern?
He had an error in his first game. I don't really know how he's done since then.
Yeah,
His first game didn't go so well. He dropped a pop-up and allowed, I don't think it was a pass ball, I think it was a wild pitch, but I think it was one he could have blocked. But then he started, I think, one or two games since then, and I haven't really heard anything about it, which kind of... I mean, that normally means that you do pretty well.
Yeah,
normally you don't really notice the catcher. You know, like, no screw-ups. When there is good catching defense, it tends to kind of be invisible. You know, things just kind of happen and go right.
Yeah, no, that's what I figured. We haven't heard anything else terrible about his catching, so that probably means that it's been okay.
Yeah.
Or serviceable, at the very least.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that he's been... attacking batters from behind the plate or calling for spitters or anything.
He had that single off the wall that, you know, was kind of a Jesus Montero special where he just hits it so hard and it bounces off the wall and he has to stay at first base.
Well, he has no speed.
No.
And he had a double off of Ian Kennedy to the wall in center.
Yeah, he did.
He's going to be a good player.
I think so. I think he's going to be a phenomenal hitter.
I miss him.
I know. I kind of miss him, too.
Especially when you look at what we have at DH, and it's just like, ugh. Even if that was what we were going to use him as. Just look at it, like, ugh.
I know, it's like the whole Abanez thing wouldn't have even been an issue.
I'm really excited for Pineda, but, ugh, miss Jesus.
I know. It's always tough. Watching a prospect go. That's why I really never got attached, or just don't get attached to prospects, because I know the organization I root for.
Yeah. I wouldn't get attached to any of the ones we have now.
I love Brett Gardner, and who knows what they'll do with him.
I don't think we can really afford to trade any outfielders.
Oh, I know, but if they get the right deal and someone better comes along, he'll go. They'll do it. And, mind you, I understand the philosophy behind it, but, you know, it's just always sad.
I mean, at this point, it kind of looks like we traded a position player for pitching, and then we're going to end up trading pitching for a position player.
Yeah.
Just great.
That's really all I've got for baseball. I mean, I haven't had a... It's just been a long week for me, so I haven't really had the chance to follow up on other spring training games.
Well, I know that the Braves are kind of pressing the panic button.
Because they're not hitting?
They're like 1-7 or something in spring training.
Oh.
And they're not really hitting, and their pitching isn't doing very well.
Well, at this point, all they've got is pitching. I mean, that's clearly their strength, both their... starting rotation in their bullpen, but they really just need to hit better.
And I mean, I think for most teams it wouldn't really be much of a concern. I mean, 1-7's never fun, but considering that they ended last season with such a collapse, think they're kind of...
Oh, yeah.
How awesome is it to be the Braves, though, and have no one give a shit about your collapse because the Red Sox did it, too?
I know.
And everyone just ripped on the Red Sox. And the Braves were just as bad, but it was just like, you know, they actually like, oh, thank you, Red Sox. Now no one makes fun of us.
Oh, yeah, no. If it wasn't for the Red Sox, that Braves collapse would be talked about so much more. But it also doesn't help that, you know, everyone pegged the Red Sox to be the World Series champions. And
yeah.
Yep.
Again, that's why I found it so deliriously sweet. Again, I don't think I'll ever feel that good again. That was just like a euphoric state.
That was the peak moment of your life.
It's one of the best moments in baseball. I'm comparing this to actual World Series victories. I don't think I've ever felt such joy in watching a team fail like that.
I don't know about that. I mean, I enjoyed winning the World Series.
Oh,
but...
I love winning the World Series, but I've seen enough where I'm happy and content. And, you know, it's a special thing, but I don't think I'll ever see that again, like, to that extent, like, something that horrifyingly bad.
It just makes it better that it was the Orioles of all teams.
Oh, it made it that much sweeter.
It's like the doormat.
And you know they wanted to do it, too. You know the Orioles went out there as like, hey, let's ruin the Red Sox season.
Oh, did you see how much they celebrated when they got the walk-off win?
They deserve to.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, for them, that's like winning the World Series. Destroying Boston's chance.
Didn't they beat them, like, 5 of the last 7 times they played them or something like that?
They tormented the Red Sox at the end of the year.
It's pretty hilarious.
It's beautiful. It was beautiful.
You go, Orioles. You go.
That was another thing. The Mets aren't doing... I actually have watched the Mets games, both at work, and they're not doing too badly. I mean...
Is Ike Davis alive yet?
He's playing, you know.
That's good.
So I guess the... what was it? The Desert...
Valley Fever.
Valley Fever, right. I couldn't remember if it was Desert Fever or whatever. But I guess the Valley Fever was, I guess, mild. So that's promising. But, yeah, they still need to work out some kinks, but who knows if that's going to happen.
They still just have no chance.
I know. That was the other thing. The Marlins uniforms are really, really hideous.
Yeah, I saw this today.
I look at them and I just shudder. It's really horrifying.
I think they were wearing the black ones today and they were less offensive.
There was one point, because I saw them wearing the black uniforms, with the orange interior, it really looked like, at one point, someone was wearing an orange ascot. And that's not okay.
Honestly, I'm no connoisseur of uniforms, but I think that the white ones and the black ones, when it's like all white and all black, they're not like the most amazing things ever, but they're not so terrible. When they're bright orange, that's when it looks bad.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
I still hate the logo and the font.
And that thing in the outfield.
Oh, we.
the thing in the outfield is a whole different story.
I know. I kind of agree with what a longtime listener said. There are people who are going to have to embrace that. Just say, hey, you know what? It's ridiculous, but it's ours.
Yeah. I think that's what they're going to have to do with, like, the entire concept.
Oh, yeah, no. That's all you can do. I mean,
I know this is stupid, but it's ours, so... Okay.
At some point, do they just win because we have talked about it so much? I mean, what other stadium has had a uniform and a stupid gimmick get so much attention, so much people waste time talking about it? Like,
well, because it's so bad. I mean, that's...
I know, but, like... Do they win the, like, so bad that it works?
Maybe.
You know, do they...
Well...
Is this some master plan of being so ridiculous that it draws attention?
They start thinking that that thing is their good luck charm.
Speaking of that, there was an article on Deadspin about how the president of the Marlins, where he lambasted the fans.
Oh, yeah, I read that.
Did you read that?
I didn't read it, but I heard about it. What did he specifically say?
He basically said something about how the fans don't matter, how if he put a stadium in Las Vegas, he would still sell out seats because, you know, Vegas would buy out those seats so it wouldn't take them away from the casino. So who cares if they're fans in the seats as long as they sell?
Oh, right, yeah.
I mean, that's amazing.
And didn't he say something like, not the smartest fans or like, not the smartest people in Miami or something?
Something like that. He threw Jose Reyes under the bus saying like...
Yeah, he did.
He said, no, he went there for more money. Which, I mean, mind you, that's...
Well, of course he did.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I don't understand the big deal with that. But I think just trying to insult your fan base when, you know, you're trying to draw people back, you know, with all this gimmicky crap, I just... It's amazing.
I mean, am I stupid enough or naive enough to think that any team really cares about their fans and not about their fans' money? No, I'm not. What he's saying is true. Am I stupid enough to think that Jose Reyes did not go and play in the Miami Wonderworld for more money? No, he obviously did, which is fine. And it's fine that they want to make money and care more about that than the fans. That's really just the way it is. But don't say it, dude. Like,
exactly.
You don't need to rub our faces in it.
I mean, like, it's no secret the Yankees... You know, they sell to the highest bidder when it comes to season ticket holders. I mean, I can't just go to a game anymore. If I go to ticket window at Yankee Stadium and ask for the cheapest seats available, I am told at any point no less than $80. And I'm like, that's absurd. It's like, I'm not paying $80 for a seat. I don't care.
The seats behind home plate cost $1,000, and there's armed guards preventing you from going down into the lower levels.
Yeah.
But the Yankees care about the fans, not the money, because they have, you know, old timers day and gimmicks and stuff.
I'll tell you, we really
care.
That one game I think it was the game after we clinched when we fought Tampa Bay and basically got our asses handed to us. I was at that game, and someone got a. Tickets from someone who we were, so I was down in the luxury area. I gotta say, it's pretty sweet. I mean, the chairs are so comfortable. I'll say the service, because you have food service, like, you actually have waiters who will go get you your food. I'll never forget when they told me one time, because I wanted a Philly cheesesteak, and they told me it doesn't come without onions. And I was like, you're wrong, I've actually been to the concession stand. I know for a fact they offer it with or without onions. And they said it didn't. I said, thank you for your time. So I had to go up by myself and buy it like a schlub.
You couldn't just get it and then take off the onions?
I don't like onions on Philly cheesesteak. And they, you know, they cover it with it. That's not the point. The point here is that they were wrong. Is that they said it didn't come without onions, and I know for
a fact... Oh, well, the Yankees don't care about the fans. I don't even know about the Philly cheesesteak.
Exactly. Well, terrible service down there. But man, those seats are comfortable, and you're right there. It's a shame I had to see such a shitty game there, but... I saw Sergio... No, it was either Proctor or Mitre pitch. It was awful.
Lucky you.
I booed.
I bet you did.
I booed Proctor. And mind you, I don't think he deserves as much booing as Mitre because, you know, Joe Torre pretty much destroyed his arm. But I feel he has no place on the Yankees, so he gets booed. Screw him. I'll tell you, if Ibañez sucks out there, like, really badly, I'm booing him.
I bet that you will.
Oh, I'm a booer. I'm
definitely... I know. We've had this conversation. I know that you are.
But, where were we? Before I went into my tirade.
We weren't anywhere. We're wasting our time.
All right, well...
we're shooting off about nothing.
I mean, I have nothing else baseball-wise to talk about. You guys?
No.
Nah.
Okay. Well, I guess we can get to our always fun Yankee of the Week. Waffles, you start off this time. Who is your Yankee of the Week?
My Yankee of the Week is Manny Benuelis.
Good choice.
That's probably not a surprise to anyone because I love him. He didn't look great in his first relief appearance, but that was last week, and this week he looked much better. He struck out 3 in 2 innings, and I thought that his command was better, and he got a few swings and misses, and I thought that he looked much stronger second time.
Yeah, no, I agree. He definitely looked better this time around, which is promising, so it's what you want to see. And you saw that report, or whatever that was, where they said, like, they had him change his stance or something like that?
They had him raise his hands on his delivery last season, and he said that he thought that that was sort of why he had control issues last year.
Hmm.
Which those were, you know, well documented about how he walked too many people and, you know, didn't get to pitch deep into games. So hopefully he can adjust to that, and hopefully he has adjusted to that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's what AAA is for, really.
Yeah.
Adjusting. Duggan, your Yankee of the week?
I'll take Hughes.
Oh, okay.
Because he pitched well today, and, like, he's probably going to go to the bullpen, and that's stupid, so before he does go to the bullpen, I'll get on the hype train. He pitched well today, so all go right. Hughes.
Yeah, I'm all on the Phil Hughes hype train. I want him to do well, definitely. So, yeah, go Hughes. My Yankee of the week is actually Sweet Lou, Lou Piniella. It was his first time in the Yankee booth with Michael Kay today, and I gotta say, I really enjoyed listening to him. I thought he has a good radio personality. I think he can offer, like, a lot of, obviously, years of experience, and he's not boring like some of the other people they have in the booth, like Flaherty. So I think more...
When it's Michael Kay with Lou Piniella and Paul O'Neill, shit's going to be out of control.
Oh, yeah. You almost wait for, like, Paulie to start getting on Kay and then Lou to join in.
They're just going to be chowing down and just being ridiculous. The game will not be talked about at all. It'll be a lot like this podcast.
Pretty much. So, yeah, that is my Yankee of the week, Sweet Lou. And now it's time, of course, for our Mitre of the Week.
Hey.
See? I told you I'd get around to it. Waffle, start us off with our Mitre of the Week.
Raul Ibanez.
Shocking.
Yeah. No one saw that coming.
No.
Well, one, if you belly flop, then you just need to be the Mitre of the Week. And
pretty much the definition of it.
If Gustavo Molina has double the amount of hits as you, you need to be the Mitre of the Week.
He has double the hits?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's a celebration of small sample size, and I know that that will not continue, but right now, Gustavo Molina has double the hits of Raul Ibanez.
Wow.
Mitre of the Week.
That is pretty sad.
Terrible baseball player.
Duggan, your Mitre of the Week.
Well, I also think that if you are carrying an empty box and you need to step down one step and you break your leg, essentially, you just break yourself, you know, carrying this empty box down one step, then you also deserve to be Mitre of the Week. So David Robertson, you're good and stuff, and you haven't, like, done anything bad at baseball, but what the hell, dude? Like,
you're bad at life.
What's going on with that, man? Like,
I know.
If that doesn't make you a Mitre, then I don't really understand.
I mean, that's like a Mets injury.
That's entirely a Mets injury.
Because that actually happened. Someone fell going down the dugout and wound up on the disabled list.
That is a Mets injury. They were probably about to trade him to the Mets.
David Robertson, I hope you're proud of yourself. You have now become synonymous with the Mets.
Mets injury status. All right.
Congratulations.
Bravo. My Mitre for the week is
It's a good thing that he's not on the Mets, because that ankle injury would last for the rest of the season.
Oh, they'd misdiagnose.
Or his wife.
Oh, they'd misdiagnose, and that would be the end. They'd misdiagnose.
Yeah, he'd be in a wheelchair by mid-April.
Oh, yeah. No, that'd be it. But, all right, my Mitre of the week is Adam Miller. I'll be honest, he looks like crap out there. I don't know at what point they should start cutting people, but I think he's already at that point. He's shown me nothing. I mean, he has a 54 ERA, which has come down from 135. Opponents are hitting a .5.
Well, look at that improvement. I mean, by next week, his ERA will be like negative 20.
I guess. That's true. The math doesn't lie. Opponents are hitting 571 off of him, and he's walked 4 in 1.1 innings, and he's got a 6 whip.
Where did you get all those stats from?
You gave them to me, clearly. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I know no stats, so Waffles gave me these stats because she thought it would just accentuate the point of how bad Adam Miller has been. And she's right. I mean, when she told me these stats before we started recording, my mind was just like, wow, he really deserves the Mitre of the Week. Because he, unlike David Robertson, he is bad at baseball. So, like I said, I don't know when, you know, they start cutting people from spring training, but as far as I'm concerned, Adam Miller's time is up.
I think Brandon posted something about some weird hand thing.
Did you just say he posted a weird hand thing?
It's about Adam Miller.
Oh.
Okay. Oh.
Bravo.
Brandon, have you been posting weird hand things again? If so, we're not reading them.
Are you kidding? I definitely want to read that. Just like I want to see players' guts. Again, I live for the depraved stuff on the internet.
Oh my goodness.
See what you did, Waffles.
I clearly said it was about Adam Miller.
But no, he's terrible. Adam Miller is pretty awful, so definitely my Mitre of the Week. All right, Waffles, anything on the injury report?
Besides David Robertson?
Yes, which we did already discussed in stupid detail. In Mets injury detail.
Not really.
Well, that's good. It's good that our players don't get injured.
I mean, other than the ones who, you know.
Whatever happened to Nunez getting hit on the hand and then negative? Is he gonna like play ever again?
He's still hurt.
No,
he's
done.
He said that when
forever.
He swings, it hurts. So.
That's too bad.
Well, stop that. Play.
Play. Get better. Like.
Come back and play. Stop being hurt.
Just like that.
Yeah.
I believe that's also the Mets medical diagnosis. Feel better.
Yeah.
Go out there and play.
Yeah, they told Jose Reyes to spit on it and get over it when he had a broken leg.
Man up.
I think such a pussy to go play with your broken leg.
Okay, I've found the Adam Miller strange hand thing.
Oh boy. I might have to put explicit on this podcast listing.
He had some, like, tendon from his leg transplanted into his finger.
Okay.
Or something.
So that's why he's pitching so piss poor?
Well, I mean, you have to assume that something was, like, really bad with his prior tendon. So.
Yeah, it's like semi Tommy John.
Yeah. Except he had Tommy John on his middle finger.
You can have Tommy
That's
John
good.
On a middle finger?
Apparently.
I mean, does that make you, like, flip someone the bird quicker?
Maybe.
That would be pretty cool. Like a whoosha!
All right. Can I have that sound effect one more time?
Whoosha!
Thanks. Oh, actually, wait. I didn't quite.
That's all you
didn't
get.
Quite. Oh, okay.
We'll save.
But I still didn't hear it, so I'm hoping that maybe one more time I can like get it.
We'll see. Because we are coming to the end of this podcast. I mean, do you guys have anything else? Baseball, Yankees related? Or any games you're looking forward to next week?
I think we play the Red Sox next week.
Tuesday, I believe.
Something like that.
I know Monday is a night game. I don't think it's televised, but it's
actually
a 7 o'clock game. So there you go, Duggan. The game you can't see is the one that's Late night.
Did I tell you that it was racially motivated?
Well, we were just talking about how the Yankees don't care about their fans.
No, they don't.
Yeah, we play them, the Red Sox, Tuesday.
That should be overblown.
The rivalry.
We also play the Nationals Friday.
That should be interesting.
Yeah.
Wonderful to see Strasburg.
Bryce Harper.
He's been doing okay, I think.
I don't know if his ego can fit in Steinbrenner Field.
Bryce Harper?
Yeah.
Hey, if he hits the ball well, he can have all the ego he wants.
No, if he has the same ego that he had in the minors, he's going to get one off the helmet.
That bad,
repeatedly.
Huh?
He is definitely the kind of dude that could lead the league in hit by pitch.
Oh, yeah.
Is he Nigel Morgan bad?
He blew a kiss at a pitcher as he rounded the bases.
Oh, that's... Wow, that's impressive.
He is a tremendous jerk.
That's probably going to have to stop. Because, yeah, like you said, he will get pitches thrown at his face.
Yep.
Which you don't want to see, but...
No. But people in baseball tend not to have a sense of humor. It's like, hey, this person's having fun. Stop having fun. I'm going to hurt you.
I mean, have you seen Cervelli. Nigel... Have you guys seen Nigel Morgan?
Oh, yeah.
He's a pill. Like, the crap he pulls. I'll never forget. I was logging the game in which he got clotheslined by the Marlins.
Oh, yeah, by Gabby Sanchez.
Yeah.
that was
phenomenal.
Oh, yeah, I watched that numerous times.
Baseball fights are so terrible. They're so uninteresting.
So
just like, no, just like, here's 60 guys milling around saying not nice things to each other, while two-thirds of them are trying to make sure that no fighting actually happens.
But the beginning of like, baseball fights, I think, are more interesting than any other sport.
They can be. They definitely can be. And the Nigel Morgan one was pretty fantastic.
Do you remember the game? I think it was against the Indians last season where Teixeira got hit and, like, the bullpens came out and... Everyone just kind of, like, stood around because nothing actually happened.
Yeah, no, those are boring. And
that happens so, that's like 90% of the time. Like, everyone runs in from the bullpen like, we are seriously needed here to stand behind people.
I know. But no, that Nigel Morgan one, I'll never forget. Because when you're logging that, it's like, oh, because you have to tell your, you know, you have to tell the boss. Like, because the game is being delayed right now, so just let him know that I'm not logging a pitch. And you just go, okay, Andy's charging the mound. They're starting to fight. Oh my god, he got clotheslined. Because Gabby Sanchez came out of nowhere.
Nigel Morgan.
That really was wonderful.
Nigel Morgan had that coming.
Oh, he did. He absolutely did. But, alright, I think that's it for this week's podcast. We've talked about quite a range of things, from Brandon's weird hand posting to Nigel Morgan getting clotheslined.
So it might be the weirdest one yet.
Possibly. They'll probably get weirder once the actual season starts. I mean, we're just...
Oh, they better get weirder.
Because we're just talking...
By the end, I want to drive away all the fans. just going to be us being weird.
Have we made you uncomfortable because... This isn't
if we even. Haven't made you uncomfortable, then we haven't really done our job.
Something's wrong. Something's terribly wrong.
If you listen to this whole podcast without becoming uncomfortable, what's wrong with you? think about your problems and your life choices.
Because you know how sick we are. Especially me. I mean, I make no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Waffles is still semi not, you know, corrupted yet. Good luck with that, Waffles. I mean, you agreed to do this podcast.
I've spent a ton of time on PSA. I don't really know that I'm not corrupted.
No, you're still one of the good ones, I think. Anyway, that's it for this week's episode of the Pinstripe Valley Podcast. If you have any comments or feedback, just shoot us a line in the threads, or I think you know, maybe we'll start a mailbag system. Perhaps I'll create...
Yeah, if you want to ask us questions, feel free to do that, and, we will decide if we want to answer them or not. We probably won't.
Probably not, but you know what I'll tell you? By the time this podcast is up, I'll have created a Pinstripe Alley podcast Gmail account. So feel free to there you go. A two in one podcast.
Two blongs in one podcast. That, so yes, don't Google that.
So again, feel free to comment in the threads, or if you want to, you want to shoot us a question, email us at pinstripealleypodcast@gmail.com. So for What Would Jeter Do and Lord Duggan, I'm giving you a raise. Thanks for listening, and go Yankees.